What is up, everyone? It is Sunday. Happy birthday to my daughter. Happy 11th.
I thought that was yesterday.
She had a birthday party yesterday. Sleepover. Running over to the dam. Glad it's over with. Anyways, tonight, dude, I'm stoked. I've been waiting for this show for like 3 years now. And I gotta take a swig.
Before you continue, bro, I'm just gonna say it's a good week to have a good week.
Yes. Let's start off with Saturday morning.
Before we do, though, you really want to piss the people off because of our day and age, just the world we live in. You want to start off with a word of prayer?
Hey, I'm down with it.
Now, go ahead, bro.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment in time. We've been waiting 3 years. Thank you for Wednesday night's game that's going to happen. And, amen.
Amen.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure, like, half of our viewers just completely tuned out and shut us off. It's like, in the beginning of that.
Whatever.
Hey, if you don't like it, you don't have to listen. Our most loyal viewers will continue to be loyal, follow us, and love us to the end.
And, always remember, I'll say it in the beginning of the show, and I'll say it after. If it ain't sweet,
it ain't tasty.
Boom. Anyways, so, before we get into the guest, Saturday was a big game. Wednesday night is the biggest game. Number three. And when I say number three, if we win, I'm not going to say we're going to win, because what I saw during the playoffs on Saturday scared me. I saw the number two team almost get taken out, and we didn't play so good in the first half. But we always come back, and we always come together for some reason. And just want to take a few seconds to tell these referees
to go suck it.
Get the hell, just go away. Just go away. I heard you shit talking before the game.
Well, we're coaches and we can make better referees than you. Like, we can be more fair when our own team is playing and call a down the middle fair game.
I get it. I get it, you know. You don't need this job. You don't need this refereeing job. Then leave. That's all you gotta do. Because I'm not going anywhere for a long
time. That's like saying you're a typical businessman coming up and having an issue at a grocery store and saying, do you know who I am? I pay your salary. When I come in here, it's just like, I don't want to hear that shit. You know what I mean? Just like, pissed off, be done with it.
It's like to all these rich people, I pay your taxes, but you don't pay nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tonight is very big, very special. Cameron, you and I have been both looking forward to this. I will have to say, no disrespect to any of our other guests,
None.
No disrespect at all.
I love talking to all you guys.
Absolutely. But, however, I will say this has probably got to be one of the biggest podcasts we've ever had.
I'm a big wrestling fan, dude, and
absolutely.
I'm a big wrestling. I'm a big wrestling collector. And I was around when he was wrestling. I mean, I was more in the WWF at the time, before they were WWE.
Bro, I'm sitting here.
I know who they were. Oh, yeah. Anyways, everyone's wondering why I keep saying I knew who they were. I knew who he was. Guys, tonight on the First and Last Hit podcast, our special guest.
Drum roll, please.
None other than ECW Original. When I say original, I mean original. One half of the Dudley family. And one of the originals in the Dudley family. Chubby Dudley.
Who did two stints in ECW. We're talking way back in 92 when he first got his start. When it was Eastern Championship Wrestling. Bro, that was back when I was 2 years old. He got his start in the original ECW.
Yeah. That's back when Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, RVD.
Bubba Ray there?
Mm-hmm. He was part of the...
I don't think Devon came in until later, though.
No, Devon didn't come in until later, and...
Actually,
I got some questions about that to ask Chubby, and
does he even like being called Chubby anymore? Like, I mean, I understand it was his ring name, but he had other ring names. You know, there was Easy Rider, Hell Rider, and then his real name, like
Bay Ragney.
Yeah, like, I mean...
When he comes on, do we be like, hey, babe, I mean, come on now.
Bro, you know, I was reading up on him earlier, and he rarely wrestled in his stint with the Dudleys. He was usually at ringside.
He was more of a manager.
But he was always there with a snack. If he wasn't there, whether it was a cake... Crunch berries, it was always something. And if one of the Dudleys, you know, in the Dudley family got incapacitated, he'd run away.
Yeah.
So that's
one of the things that we'll ask.
I'm definitely interested to see if he comes on here with a cake or some crunch berries or something.
Hey, it'd be cool if he came on with some type of drink. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I heard... Yeah, I've heard some funny things. And I wonder if he was there when Spike was...
You know, that'd be a good question to ask. I tell you what, though...
And I wonder if he's still close to any of them.
Yeah. These are all questions we can have answered in a little more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean...
Aside from that, though, not to kind of take away from our guest here, but Spike, I think, was just more or less used as a crash test dummy, you know? Nothing against the dude. I mean, he's one tough son of a bitch. But, holy shit. I would have to say...
I remember when he joined forces with the Big Show. And I forget what pay-per-view it was at. But Big Show picks him up and just catapults him onto everyone. And I'm like, damn, dude.
The dude, I will say, the dude is tougher than Mick Foley. I'm just going to throw that out there right now, bro. I'm throwing it out there. I mean, I know I'm going to have a lot of people that disagree with me or not, but that's what we got our email for.
Yeah.
So, which we will be, of course, as we do when we end every podcast, later on in the evening, we will give you guys that email link again. And I would love to hear your thoughts, disagreements, all that other cool shit. But back to our guest, you know, I mean, the original ECW was back, like, I never really got to watch it back then. You know what I mean? I was so really too, I was too young for it. I can most certainly go on.
Dude, they had, I remember back when I was a kid. They had an ECW video game. It was on the Nintendo 64.
Oh, okay.
And that game was so badass, man. I mean, they had the barbed wire, rope match. You could play a dumpster match.
Nice.
I mean, it was sick, dude. It was sick, man.
I miss the old school games, though.
I do too, dude. Especially
Here Comes the Pain has always been my favorite, though. Even all the way up till now.
Here Comes the Pain was a good game. That's when it started getting good. I mean, I had SmackDown 2. Mm-hmm. I had all of the other ones as well. Here Comes the Pain. I had I'll take it back to Nintendo 64 days when I had
WCW versus NWO.
Dude, that was the best game. That was one of the best games. But the thing was, I didn't know the buttons.
I used to do a lot of button mashing, bros.
And I would always pick the ninja.
Same.
I don't know why. I mean, you had Hulk Hogan, you had Kevin Nash, you had Rey Mysterio Jr.
You brought up Hulk Hogan, and the only thing I want to say on that subject right there is I have never met somebody so dumb in my entire life. Was he a big name? Yes, absolutely. But how can you sit there on any, whether you're on a podcast, whether you're on national television in an interview, this or that and the other, and you're going to literally sit there and say something that is completely false and untrue, and then people go back and look and find out that you are blatantly lying about it. Hulk Hogan is one of those people that will sit there and tell you, you know, brother, back in 86, I lifted 800 pounds bench press, and I was doing 10 reps or 10 sets of 50 reps of 800 pounds, brother. That's what you get.
Listen here, brother.
I
tell you what, I've not met Hulk Hogan, but I don't know. I went when I was down in Florida. I went to his store. And everyone spoke very highly of him, though. Like,
I'm not saying he's not a nice guy. I personally, I've never met the guy. I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff that he says that is scientifically proven to be the opposite of what he says.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He'll like I just mentioned. You know, he'll tell you, I used to bench press 800 pounds at, you know, 10 sets of 50 reps. Like, bro, come on now. Give everybody a time check. We got 1 minute. Kevin, you want to hit him up?
Yep, let me,
I'm going to meet the wrestler player.
Okay, now, man. Hold on.
We just had a slight appearance from a Little Moose Cake there. Bless her little heart.
Oh, shoot. I lost you. I'm back. Okay. Alright. Let me... Here we go, add. The ad screen is loading up very slowly today. Alright. Yep. Everyone is ready? Everyone good?
Yep, certainly.
Yep, here we go. Ready. Calling in 3, 2, 1.
Can I be in it?
Okay. Hopefully. I had some technical difficulties with this earlier.
Did it call you?
And,
we've had technical difficulties since we brought the podcast back, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been weird. But
how weird is it now?
It just got very weird, my God.
It got even weirder.
Oh, man. Dude,
this is great.
This is awesome. This is,
Bro, Taylor,
we were just talking about this a few minutes ago. He was like, I hope he's eating something like the old days. And I'm like, dude, something. I hope he popped a can of something, a beer, a soda, or something. Cause we're
I wish I was drinking. I'm trying to cut back on the drinking, so that's why I'm not. Otherwise, I would be. Normally, I'm drinking a glass of wine or something during my interviews.
I'll have a swig for you.
Please do. Please do. Yeah, so I cut back on alcohol and I start back on energy drinks.
Yeah.
Right there.
Red Bull. There you go. What's up with the energy drinks now? I mean, I used to work for a place that sold energy drinks, and it had the Mask of Rey Mysterio, but it was called Reigns, and I'm like, have they come
out? Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't tried them yet. I see them all the time now.
Yeah. But everybody, welcome to the First and Last Head Podcast, Chubby Dudley. It is.
I just want to ask real quick. Do you like being called Chubby Dudley? I mean, I know it was a ring name, but you had other ring names. Like, do you prefer the other ring names, or is it just like one of those stigmas being Chubby Dudley?
I guess it's a stigma. I never thought about it. I mean, honestly, it never bothered me. It never, it was a gimmick I loved and embraced. And the fact that 30 years later, people even care that I was Chubby Dudley is beyond me. Because, you know, we went through 10, 15 years easy where nobody cared less. And the last 2-3 years has been the whole giant resurgence of it.
Are you doing anything with wrestling as far as now or
just my YouTube channel that I started a year ago. I moved to Nashville 4 years ago, and actually about 2 years ago, I think two and a half years ago, I had a meeting with a local Nashville promotion, CCW Wrestling, based out of Florida, and they were going to bring me on board working behind the scenes with them, helping out behind the scenes with a lot of stuff, and I sat there with the promoter and the booker and a couple of the boys, and the first, like, half hour to an hour, I'm like, all right, this will be cool. This will be fun. And then we sat there for like 3 hours. Can I curse or?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. So we were sitting there bullshitting and having a ball. And I was saying to myself, this could end up being bad. Because, you know, when you're in that, you go back into that circle, the world of wrestling, You know, it's it can get crazy. It can get very crazy. And I was trying to slow my life down, so to say.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to get back into that whole insanity of the wrestling world. So I literally, like, accepted the job. And as I was driving home, I texted the guy back and I declined it.
So you talked about not being in wrestling anymore. You had your own, you were doing promoting, was that LAW, Liberty All-Star Wrestling.
Yep.
Which ended up closing their doors in May of 2002, I believe.
Yeah.
Are you completely, like, done with wrestling, or do you have an interest of even doing, like, you know, bringing back the promotion?
No. Actually, my old business partner did bring the promotion back about 6 years ago, and he ran for about 3 years, and he had some very nice, successful shows, and he brought me back on board as one of the commentators before I moved to Nashville. And I was getting my feet wet back in the business with that, and then I was getting called for conventions and stuff, and then I moved to Nashville. And then the world shut down and everything with COVID. But, I mean, honestly, when I shut the doors of LAW in 2002, I kind of shut the doors on the world of pro wrestling as a whole. Like, I don't even watch wrestling anymore. I sometimes, like, I'll hear, like, the buzz of a hot match or this hype going around. And I'm like, all right, and I'll go search it out and check it out. But if I start watching it, like, it drives me insane. Like, because the booker in me, the promoter in me, the wheels start turning and I get nuts. And I'm like, all right, I got to start running shows. I got to do this. I got to get back involved. So it's easier for me to keep that distance. And the only wrestling I watch now is, like, going back and watching the ECW on my reaction channel. And, Tales from the Dark Side of the Ring or whatever. That's about it.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good show. We were actually talking about one of the episodes last week, wasn't it? I think it was the episode about, was it Brody Lee going down to Puerto Rico and he got stabbed in the shower?
Bruiser Brody. Yeah, I mean, I end up, like, literally, like, I watch those shows, and almost every episode, I end up sitting there crying. Like, it's, you know, it sucks. A lot of these guys, I mean, I didn't know Brody, but Brody was a huge influence on me, but a lot of these guys I knew, so it's tough seeing.
Dude, it was pretty effed up, because 6 months prior to Bruiser Brody going down there, I think it was Hulk Hogan and Macho Man went down there, because I think Vince wanted them to go down there to have a show, and there was a guy sitting in their hotel room after the match, and they walked in the hotel room and said, "Don't you ever come back, because if you do, I will kill you." And then 6 months later, Hulk Hogan was saying Bruiser Brody went down there. They set him up. Somebody said that somebody wanted to talk to him in the shower. He went in there and he stabbed him in the neck.
Yep.
Happened to be an argument about something. I don't know.
It was about the match.
I remember watching that episode, and it's just like, you know, I understand things happen in matches. You know, something could always go wrong. Look at draws. You know, powerbomb went wrong. God rest his soul. Powerbomb went wrong, and he paralyzed from the neck down. You know, and it's like, if you're too busy holding on to that anger and hostility, you ain't going to do. It's not gonna, you know, bother anybody else other than yourself. But my question is, you said you'd shut the door on pro wrestling. And, you know, Cameron kind of touched on this before we jumped on the air. And so, Cameron, I want to apologize for taking your question. Do you
It's all right.
even Do you even talk to any of the boys anymore?
I mean, not a lot. I mean, here and there. The ones who I kept in touch with the most, the number one guy who I kept in touch with the most from ECW was Blue Meanie. We initially drifted apart, and then we had a mutual friend of ours pass away like 15 years ago. And after he passed away, we got very close, and we started like doing dinners once a month, making a point of it, and hanging out. And,
that's cool.
We did a lot of stuff together for a good like 5 years. Then we drifted apart again, but we've still, even since I've moved here, you know, we'll exchange occasional text here and there. Sign Guy Dudley's another one I've kept in touch with. I had him come on and do my show as a co-host because he's a huge hockey nut, and I'm an old school hockey fan, and he helped me get an interview hooked up with Matthew Barnaby. And he was like the only way I'm going to help you do this is if I could be your co-host. I'm like, hell yeah, dude, like absolutely. And we had a ball, and I even said to him, I'm like, dude, like, anytime I get an NHL guy or somebody else on, I said, I want you to come on and be my co-host. Because he's a huge, I mean, he's a Penguins fan, but it's all right.
See, the person that always stuck out to me was, I would say he's probably the most famous in hockey, is Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, of course, the great one.
Yeah. Penguins fan, I'm a Hurricanes fan. I was a Ducks
fan. Now, where are you guys at?
I'm in North Carolina.
Okay.
I'm in Pennsylvania.
And what part of PA are you in?
Over towards, ironically, over towards the Philly side. So I'm about an hour and a half away from Philly.
Okay.
Always been interested to go check out the building.
I mean, it's completely different now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Completely different. It's so much nicer. They redid the place so nice. But still, it's an iconic. You got to go. Only an hour and a half away, man.
Yeah. The only thing is, though, is like I never know, like, you know, when the doors are open. You know, it's like I would just love.
They're always have. Just go on there. They're always having wrestling shows there. They're doing the Icons conventions like every few months. They just had one, I think, last week. Last week. Because actually, Meanie was dressed up as Blue Dust.
Oh, Blue Dust. That's pretty sweet. That is.
How was it working for Paul Heyman? Speaking of icons, I mean, you talk about somebody who is considered one of the most iconic managers just on his mic skills alone. Mm-hmm. However, there's been a lot of the OGs that said that he wasn't always the best promoter, and you know he owed a lot of the boys, you know, quite a bit of money.
Well, I mean that was obviously the end of ECW, but like my two stints that I was there when I was originally a Hell Rider, when we first got TV and Eddie brought him in as Eddie's assistant. Well, he was a different Paul,
right?
From the early days of Eastern Championship Wrestling when we had TV to when I came back a year and a half, 2 years later as a Dudley, and we were now Extreme, and he was the man in charge. It was a totally different person, you know. And in 93, you know, you can tell he was still getting his feet wet and acclimated and adjusted to this new locker room of guys who he probably had no clue who it was, and he's trying to learn everything and everybody. And he was basically coming in, walking in. I mean, it was a shitty garbage product, in my opinion. And I say this on my show all the time. Those early days of ECW, I was not a fan. I thought it was horrible. But now, as I'm watching it, I'm like on episode 14 or 15, you're seeing the turn. It's starting to get there. It's slowly but surely, the pieces are coming together. And those pieces were coming together because of Paul. Now, fast forward again 2 years later when I'm at Dudley, 95, 96, that machine, that train was rolling full steam ahead now. And Paul was able to bring a locker room together of has-beens, wannabes, and guys that were just willing to do anything they could for the love of pro wrestling and the love of ECW and for Paul Heyman, because he was the motivating factor before every one of those shows, especially those arena shows. He gave that locker room speech where he stood on those steps and he talked to that locker room, and I mean, it was like you were going to go out and win the Super Bowl. He had you so hyped, you would do, you saw what we were doing. You know, it's funny because, again, before I moved to Nashville, my older daughter, she was starting to get intrigued by my wrestling past, and we were sitting and starting to watch some of the ECW shows, and she would just look at me like, and just say, you guys were nuts. And it was the first time I watched this stuff in 20 years. And I'm looking back and I'm like, we were fucking nuts. like seriously. I mean, because at that time, none of that stuff was being done. So it truly was, like they said, revolutionary in the world of wrestling.
So how was it, you know, being there from 95 to 96?
Amazing. I knew every time I showed up, I knew there was something magical happening, and I knew I was part of wrestling history. Did I know 30 years later it was still going to be like, no.
Fucking amazing. I mean,
I didn't think it was going to be that much, but I knew there was magic and history being made every time.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I love, and you don't see too much of the comedy in wrestling, at least not as good as it was how you did it, where it says that you barely wrestled. However, you were often out there on screen with either, like we mentioned earlier, a cake or crunch berries, and every time one of the Dudleys would be incapacitated, you're gone off. And you just run away. And it's just like, man, now you're talking 95, 96. I'm only 5 years old, you know. So, but thankfully now...
Were you watching it at the time?
You know, and that's the thing. I don't remember.
I had the pleasure to watching it. Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
See, you're what? See, Andrew, you're what? You were 5?
Yep.
So I was 7. I was 7. So I started watching.
You guys are pumped.
Yeah.
You guys are pumped.
Dude, I mean, I'm sitting there like, shit, what the hell is going to happen next? What's going to happen next?
I think I remember seeing.
I was saying the same thing.
I remember seeing maybe one or two, but I don't remember much. I do remember, though. I think it was like a scaffolding match or something. I remember, you know, and maybe this is my mind playing tricks on me, but being ECW, you know, and there was a lot of tables, you know, kind of around there. But that's really, I can't remember who wrestled. I think maybe it was like New Jack, I'm thinking. But I mean, other than that, it's just, it amazes me that now we can go to like Peacock and things like that and just look at those moments. Yeah. And that's definitely something that I'm going to go back and watch, because I feel like a lot of people looking back at ECW back then, it's could be easily forgotten about. My favorite championship design and all the championships that are currently out today, even far back then, has always been the ECW championship. I love the design of it, and it's
a lot of people say that.
I think the design for that title was more creative than what Vince and them did with the WWF title. I mean, and even now, These designs on these titles are just... They're stupid to me. Like, I missed the Winged Eagle title back in WWF. I miss all the original stuff. I wish... As a fan, I wish it could have been left alone. But, I mean, I understand they gotta make money and...
That's a whole other world that shocks the hell out of me, because there's some, like, wrestling fans who have friended me on Facebook, and they're all, like, these, they're belt marks now, and I'm, like, blown away by it, and they'll, like, message me, and they're, like, showing me pictures of our new belts, and one night they actually were, like, hey, we're, like, doing a group chat on, like this, on Facebook.
Right.
Do you want to come in so we can answer some questions? And I was, like, I was sitting here probably drinking a beer or something. I'm like, yeah, all right. So they're like showing me like their belt collections. And one guy, literally, his house was completely engulfed like with a shrine of belts. Like every room of his house, he had these glass enclosures of belts. I'm like, how much money did you spend on belts? He's like, over $30,000. I was like,
yeah.
Okay. Like...
So it's funny. We talk about belt designs because I had this one made not that long ago. Taz is FTW, and I love the concept behind it. What the FTW stands for? It's he was another one that I often enjoyed it. Not really getting able to see or remember, you know, what things were like back in the original ECW. To see the crossover after WWE had, you know, just kind of came in there. To see these guys, like Taz, for instance, always comes off as a badass. I've heard good stories. I've heard, you know, bad things about him. But it's just... It's interesting, you know. You hear these things about these guys, and it's just like you don't know somebody until you get to meet them yourself.
Sure,
you know, and it's just like I sit there and I ponder. I look at today's product because I've been a wrestling fan since I was 3, you know, and I look back and it's just like, you know, I don't like the product. So much anymore. But it's one of those you continue to watch it because
you're
not only that though, you hope that something is going to happen that brings that love back out, you know.
Sure.
Back out of you. You've got to have I'm sure, you know, the most fun you've had, you know, back in that time. I'm sure that was one of the best times of your life, being back there and, you know, wrestling and stuff like that. But, I mean, just overall, I wish I could have had the opportunity to, attend it, you know, something like that. And then, you know, however many years later when they tried to revamp the ECW. I'll be honest with you, and I'm sure there's originals like yourself that could probably agree with me. Vince McMahon completely pissed on the legacy of ECW when he booked himself to become ECW champion. When that happened, that was almost like him saying, you know, yeah, I bought you guys out. I'm going to piss on the legacy of ECW just to kind of rub it in. And it's just like, that's what I don't like. I don't like the politics and everything else like that. ECW, the original stuff, it intrigues me more because it was just more or less like people going in there, beating the hell out of each other, and calling it a day. You know?
Nowadays, wrestling... Yeah. Back in the 90s, for WWF, Attitude Era, it was awesome. ECW was still around. It was awesome. And then it progressed to after the Attitude Era to the Ruthless Aggression Era.
Even that wasn't too bad, though.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. After Ruthless Aggression, I lost my passion for wrestling. I still keep up with it because I have some friends who wrestle. I've got a friend who's wrestled for NXT Dark and AEW Dark. Yeah, dude, I mean, I keep up with it, but I just think it's... The storylines are stupid now. I mean...
That's I don't know anymore. There's a wrestling podcast from Australia that I've become friends with, the guys that do it. And the last couple years, they had me... I don't think we did it this year. I think we did it the two previous years. For WrestleMania, like I watched WrestleMania, and we did like a recap show, and that was like the first time each year, like I watched wrestling all year was those two shows, and it was just like a lot of like there was some good matches, but there was a lot of like,
I mean, I've been writing. I mean, oh, I'm sorry. I write. I'm a writer. I've written a couple of books I haven't put out yet because I'm just trying to find the right person. But there's one thing that I'm working on, and it's a wrestling project. And I've been working on it since I was 18. And I've gotten a couple of wrestlers to let me use them as a character. More indie than anything, and once it's done, I'd like to send it to you so you can take a look at it and see what you think.
Okay, yeah, send it over.
Andy,
another thing I'm interested in too, and Cameron and I were both looking this up. Is we'd spent a couple weeks ever since you got back to us and. Emailing each other back and forth, is we found out that you have a trading card. You got trading cards out there. And what's funny is Cameron and I have our own... Oh, okay. Look at that.
Yes, that's the one.
Nice. You know, I have to say, there is just certain people that get better looking with age.
And, I'm definitely one of them.
Absolutely. So, but no, I was sitting here talking about this, a couple weeks now. It's like, where do we get the chance to get ourselves a Chubby Dudley card?
All people got to do is shoot me a message. Hit me up on Facebook. Shoot me an email. Always, I'm always promoting them on my Facebook page. So
nice. I mean, Cameron and I, we have our own trading card business, and we sat here and talked about it. There is just certain cards that if we ever got our hands on, it ain't going nowhere. It's going to go on display, and that's it. But, I mean, it's definitely intriguing because I never thought that trading cards were, like, you know, way back then. You know,
it's like
the Pokemon at least.
There's this one guy who's been doing these cards, and actually, let me find it. He literally just tweeted out, or I've X'd out, whatever you want to call this freaking thing. About 2 hours ago, there's a new Dudley card coming out. I don't know if you can probably see it, but it's going to be a triple shot card. And two of the signatures have been done. Now he's got to send them to me. But it's Sign Guy and Dances
Jesus
with Dudley.
Christ, that's beautiful.
And then I'm in the middle.
Oh,
so
my
they
gosh.
Got
to-
nice.
priceless.
That's going to be the new card.
So for me, I have very few cards when it comes to my personal collection. I'm a very, very big Eddie Guerrero fan.
Love Eddie.
Beautiful guy. He's head and shoulders above everybody. I tell you, when he passed away in 2005, I completely bawled my eyes out. And it's still,
I can't believe it's been that long already.
Yeah. Even now, just thinking about it, I get cold chills.
As soon as you said, I have chills right now. As soon as you said it.
And so I ended up coming across the. Did I pull it, or I can't remember how I came across it. I ended up getting a trading card of him. It's numbered 10 out of 49.
Wow.
And I tell you what, that is.
Then I got you the one. It was his last trading card that was ever made. Last SmackDown he was ever on. Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time, like, I have a friend. I had a friend who's, you know, he's blind now. And there are some things that he'll say that kind of make me question. And I can't remember what year he said he had come in. So you departed with ECW and you lasted in mid-1996. So
as a matter of fact, I don't even remember. I mean, if I went back through like the results, I know it was probably about a month after Spike came in, 2 months tops. So after Spike came in is when
Spike and D-Von come in at the same time?
No. D-Von was there for a good 6 months before Spike came in.
Because D-Von came in 1996, wasn't it?
Yep, April 13th. Yeah,
Was it?
Yep.
Was it
at
nice?
The massacre on Queens Boulevard.
When do you know when Spike came in?
I don't remember when Spike came in. I remember
I do not, but
D-Von
I can certainly
in
look
sometime
it up.
In
I remember, and the reason I'm not gonna lie, I have a split screen on my iPad, so I have it up here. D-Von came in. And his biggest thing was, I guess, proclaiming that the Dudley's comedic antics were not the way the true Dudley's, or the way that the true Dudley's should conduct themselves. And not too long after that, I guess July 13th at Heatwave of 96, Devon attacked Dances with Dudley and yourself, and Sign Guy Dudley to the chair, delivered a low blow to Bubba Ray Dudley before being driven off by Hack Myers.
I'll tell you what, when I go back and I see those clips and I see those chair shots that I took, especially from D-Von, they were freaking brutal. They were.
Now, I remember at the ECW taking more color than any wrestling promotion I've seen.
Oh my gosh, Spike was just. I'm surprised that guy's still alive anymore.
Dude.
My goodness.
Yeah, man. I remember we were sitting here talking earlier. I was like, dude, I remember when Spike was teaming up with the Big Show.
September 14th, he debuted for
September
ECW.
14th?
Yep, September 14th at When Worlds Collide.
That sounds okay. Because I was. Figuring it was probably around October that I left.
Yep. To see, he came in as the ring name Little Spike Dudley as part of the Dudley family.
Okay.
And he was a fan favorite. But to kind of go back though, I've heard a lot of stories, you know, about the ECW originals, you know, things about the Dudleys and things like that. But the source that I've got it from used to be an old friend of mine. We've had since had a falling out. I think he went by teamed up with Blitzkrieg, I believe. His name was
with who?
Blitzkrieg. He went to WCW.
Okay.
And this is why with you being an original, I'm trying to kind of piece everything together. However, you know, I understand, like, you know, maybe they came in, you know, after you left or something like that. But his real name is Brian Connor. But he tells me that he had a tag team, you know, and they didn't really do televised matches, more like the dark stuff, non-televised. Blitzkrieg Pop, or Bop, I think it was. He wore a mask. Do you remember any of that at all? Or do you think that...
In what year was that? What year did he say he was there?
I want to say he came in around... I mean, I want to say at the earliest, he may have said 96. I could be wrong. It could have been also, it could have been after you had left, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ringing a bell, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to say this about this person, but there's been a lot of people who go around and say they worked for ECW.
Uh-huh.
And they've even will come to me and they're like, oh yeah, I worked for ECW and this and that, and I'm like, no you didn't. Like, I was there. No you didn't. Like, so
it's like
I've never seen you there.
You know, I haven't seen you around. I mean,
Yeah.
So but I mean, it's very possible. And,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing though, it's like ECW has been such a big thing, and it's definitely not only a childhood memory, but it's also a gem that it's very I can easily see people believing in their own fantasies, you know, so much so like I want to wrestle for ECW, so I'm going to make believe and believe my own pretend that I wrestled for ECW.
Well, people would say it to try to get themselves work in the business and stuff like that. So
yeah, and that's another thing. That's like, you know, you look at the show, you know, Dark Side of the Ring. You see more so even like the behind the scenes, and they kind of start to play back the old behind the scenes of even things back then. It's like, you know, you get into that type of business, you're going to go down a road eventually that is very dark, you know. Yeah.
Here's the best way, like an old friend of mine said this to me early on when I was getting into the business, and he said the best way to describe the seediness of the wrestling business is you're getting into a business that's completely based on a lie.
And it's funny you say that because Lanny Poffo had talked about Randy Savage, and he said as soon as Randy Savage got into the business and got that Macho Man character, Randy Poffo was gone forever, and he completely consumed the Macho Man gimmick. He lived it to the point where even outside of wrestling, he was the Macho Man. He could be at home doing absolutely nothing, still the Macho Man. And that is, I mean, again, I get cold chills thinking about it. That is a very scary thing. Like,
well, you got to figure with those guys, especially at that time, they were literally, you know, they were working 300 days a year. They were on the road that much. So, I mean, that just, it just totally consumes you.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, like you said, from the Dark Side of the Ring, like, so many of those guys, you know, they just go down that bad side of, you know, the drugs and everything else of the business.
Some of them some of them never come back from it, and it's unfortunate. You know, it's really a shame. And then, of course, I'm sure you've experienced it as well. You know, these unprotected chair shots, and it's gonna do damage. It's going to. I mean, I can't speak for you. I mean, I'd love to hear, you know, from you. Like, is it something that's like? Do you still feel the effects of what you suffered?
You know, it's funny because, like, when I started in the business, when I started training in the business in 1990, at that point, it wasn't about being extreme. It was about you were taught to make it look good and don't lay it in.